Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took birth in the year 1486, and all of us, we all know the story of his appearance, the reasons, and where he appeared. He appeared in the holy land of Mayapur, Sri Mayapur Dam, from two very exalted devotees. When he was not even 20 years old, he traveled to East Bengal. At the time, there was no division between Bengal and Bangladesh. Today, we have two different countries. After the Second World War, India was divided. Before, it was one country, and it became three countries. Pakistan, India, and Bangladesh. The reason why? Because the Muslims, many Muslims, wanted their own country. And the problem is India, especially North India, is so large that hundreds of thousands of people were dying just because of the journey to go to Pakistan. There were hundreds of thousands of people dying. So they decided another piece of India, on the other part of the country, would have cut out from India, and it became another independent country, which is Bangladesh. But at the time, Bengal and Bangladesh were one state. And many leelas happened in Bangladesh. And also great acharyas born in Bangladesh, like Narottam Das Thakur, for instance. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was still a grihastha, he traveled to Bangladesh, and many things happened during his journey. But one thing happened, and it was particularly important for the specific story I want to say today, or to tell today, which is the story of the birth and activities of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, which is one of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. And the reason why I want to tell the specific story is that it is among the six Goswamis. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami is probably the less known, the more mysterious. We don't know much about him, but the little we know, every Vaishnava should know. Just like we had to know life history of Rupa Goswami, we need to know who is Sanatana Goswami, what he did, where he lived, because the hearing, remembering the stories and trying to go more into details will purify our existence, because these activities are no different from Krishna's activities. There's no difference between, because the Krishna's activities are transcendental, and Krishna's devotees' activities also are similarly transcendental, and they are worthy to be told. The whole Srimad Bhagavatam before the 10th canto are all activities by Krishna's devotees. So if the activities of Krishna's devotee were not transcendental, Srila Vyasadeva would not lost time in telling the stories. So we had to know the stories. Of course, someone says that, well, everything we need to know is Chantare Krishna, we are not this body, so if this perspective were correct, then why Srila Prabhupada wrote 70 books? He should have written only half a page. Chantare Krishna, you are not his body, that's all. He didn't do that. He spent the best part of his life when he could open, he opened many temples during his lifetime. He could have opened three times the temple that he opened, he and his disciples opened. But he didn't. Because history and philosophy are the basis of our culture, and without culture there is nothing. It's like a building without a base. We need to study. We need to know these stories. Of course we have to chant Hare Krishna. But if you chant Hare Krishna and you know why you are chanting Hare Krishna, who Krishna is, then your chanting will be more powerful. Because when you say Krishna, you know who Krishna is. Otherwise you say Hare Krishna, who Hare is, who is Krishna, who is Rama. It doesn't come any type of meditation in your mind because you don't know who Krishna is. So transcendental knowledge purifies the mind and the heart. And the one who cultivates knowledge will see his material attachment go away. This is the effect of knowledge, purifies the material desires. And become pure is not enough, though. Will be enough for other type of philosophers, like the Mayavadis. The only thing they want is to become purified and go back to the spiritual world. And that's why they study a lot. The Gyanis, they are Mayavadis, they are all Gyanis. They know why they study so much and why they talk so much. Because they become purified by these activities, by all material desires. But we are not Gyanis, we are Bhaktas. So we have to study, get purified, and then by pure heart we can serve purely, and our devotional service will be very powerful because we will not have any more any material desires. So we have to study and we have to serve at the same time, the same quantity. Every day we have to read, remember, make questions. When you meet senior devotees, don't waste opportunity. Not talking about me, of course, but any senior devotee you meet, don't waste this opportunity. Make questions. Don't think I know it everything. I already made this question to another person. How do you know how this other devotee will answer to you? Maybe he will say something different. Maybe he will put a detail different that will enrich the already rich preparation, let's say, the dish. You know? So make questions and hear and listen. So this will be purifying and it will be a great push for devotional service. During one of his trips to Bangladesh, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met one very nice gentleman who was a great devotee, actually. He was Vaishnava, born there, and his name was Tapana Mishra. He was from a Brahminic family, was a Brahmana by centuries and millennia, all in a line of pure Brahmanas. And not only Tapana Mishra was a great Brahmana, but was also Vaishnava. So because he was such a great Vaishnava, I could understand who this very young man, at that time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was not even 20 years old. He was younger than he was a young boy. And at that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had not even manifested the Sankirtan movement. He was a pandit. He was called Nimai Pandit. He was a teacher. He used to teach grammar and other things in Navadvip. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled to Bangladesh, the first ecstatic symptoms started to manifest. And he had the transformation. From Nimai Pandit, he became what he actually was. It just that before was less manifested. Tapana Mishra understood that this young boy was actually a great saint, and more, he even realized who actually Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was, that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead who appeared in this world. So he accepted him as his authority and deity and took direct initiation. Tapana Mishra is a direct disciple, one of the first disciples of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him one instruction, very strange instruction actually, if you think it very serious. You should leave Bangladesh, you should go to Varanasi. Varanasi is what today we know as Benares. Why it was so strange? Because Varanasi was the biggest, most powerful center of Mayavada philosophy at that time. All the schools, all the university, everybody were not Vaishnavas there, basically. And everybody was a Mayavadi. Mayavadi means God is not a person. There is no such a thing as Krishna with a flute or Goloka Vrindavan. It is good, they say, that you think in this way, because you get purified. You think to something which is spiritual, as an idea. But actually, beyond the spiritual idea, there is a world which is not a world, which is a substance, an indifferentiated substance called Brahma Jyoti. Brahma means spiritual, and Jyoti means light. So once we get actually purified and liberated, we go in this Brahma, we merge into this Brahma Jyoti, and we become one with the Brahma Jyoti. So for us, this philosophy is the worst, I could say that.
Spiritual suicide.
Yes, of course. Yeah, there is another word. It's like the bestemmia, como se dice? When you swear against God, the worst offense you can make to God. How you say that in English? Anyway, you understood. The worst thing you can say is that you do not exist. Actually, I and you are the same. There is no difference between you and me. Considering why the spirit soul came in this material world, envy. So the Mayavadi philosophy is the topmost way of perfecting your envy, because you won. You have finally killed God. God does not exist. You and God are the same. Same thing. This is the perfection of an envious person. So this is why the Mayavadi philosophy, Mayavada philosophy, is the worst thing that has been concocted in this material world. Because it's subtle. It's not like the atheists who say God does not exist. How can you say that? It's impossible. It's impossible because there is nothing in this world that is not a cause. Does not exist an effect without a cause. And a cause must be similar to the effect. That means that if the effect in this material world is us, which we are all persons, that means that our cause, God, must be also be a person. Because the cause cannot be less than the effect. If you are not Michelangelo, can you make what Michelangelo did? You cannot, because you have not the you are not capable. You have not the quality. So if I see one of his picture, then I can understand that this person must have this quality. Cannot be less, because cause and effect must be similar in quality. In this world there are persons, so in the spirit God must be a person. And we can go on and on explaining this philosophy, but today I don't want really to talk about this. Maybe some other time we can talk about the difference between our philosophy and Mayavada philosophy. So Tapana Mishra accepted Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction to go to Varanasi. And at that time, in Varanasi, there was another Vaishnava whose name was Chandrasekhara Acharya. So Tapana Mishra and his wife went to Varanasi in 1503, that the year that Tapana Mishra and his wife went. After 2 years, they had a son, whose name was Raghunath, and he born in Varanasi. And from the very first beginning, it was very clear The Raghunath was a special boy because he was not making mess and playing, and he was a very thoughtful young boy. So he grew up by studying very carefully the scriptures, well guided by Tapanamisa Chandrasekhar Acharya. So for Raghunath, there is one year which is very important for his life, which is the 1514. At the time, Raghunath was only 9 years old. And what happened in 1514? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who had gone to Vrindavana after taking sannyas, he took sannyas in 1510. So 4 years after, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled to Vrindavana and then went to Varanasi. And you know the story how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Varanasi. We had the story in Chaitanya Charitamrita about the Prakashananda Sarasvati story. You have read? You didn't read it? You read it? Anyway, Chaitanya Charitamrita is a story how the Mayavadi sannyasis in Varanasi criticized Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he was chanting and dancing in their vision. A sannyasi is a very sober, serious person who studies the Vedanta philosophy, or someone with a big beard, someone who you even fear to approach. They're very serious people. And there you have this sannyasi, you know, chanting, Haribol, dancing in ecstasy, crying while saying the name of women, you know, Radharani and Chitra and Lalita and Vishaka. How is sannyasis chanting the name of women? You know, sannyasis shouldn't even think about women. They should not even be in their mind. And he is chanting the name of women. So they were criticizing him very heavily, very heavily. And this criticism arrived at the ears of Chandrasekhar Acharya and Tapanamisha, and his wife also, who was a great Vaishnavi also. And they become very disturbed, very, very pained by this criticism. And asked Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to do something. You should read this, the whole story now. I will give only a glimpse in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to this meeting of the sannyasis, and he defeated them by showing, you know, there was very funny detail of Prakashananda Sarasvati saying, oh, you are very young. Actually, at that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was about 28 or something. He was born in 86, then he was about 28. So 28 means you are little more than a boy, you know. So he said, Prakashananda Sarasvati was a very serious elder, very knowledgeable sannyasi. And he said, okay, I will help you. I will explain you Vedanta philosophy so you don't go around again chanting and dancing like a sentimentalist. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, okay, I will listen. Prakashananda Sarasvati started to explain the Vedanta sutras by the explanations of Sripad Shankaracharya, who is the main acharya of the Mayavada philosophy. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu listened and didn't say anything, he didn't make any question. And at the end, Prakashananda Sarasvati got a little disturbed because he said, I'm talking and talking, you don't make any question. I don't see any effect in your face. Oh, yeah. And so, are you understanding everything? Are you understanding anything? Because if someone does not make question, means, oh, you understand everything, or doesn't understand anything. There is no middle, because if you understand even a little bit, you must have questions. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, I understand the Vedanta Sutras. What I don't understand is Sripad Shankaracharya and your explanations, which does not make sense. It's no relationship with the verse. Vyasadeva in the Vedanta Sutra says something, and you say something else. Then Prakashananda Sarasvati, who still was a very serious, the most respected scholar in Varanasi, one of the most respected all over India, Prakashananda Sarasvati. and he challenged them and said, "You, then, since you think to be more intelligent than me and Sri Padmasankaracharya, explain me the Vedanta Sutra." Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited his opulence of knowledge, and he offered the most wonderful and astonishing explanation of the Vedanta Sutra. And all the Mayavadis, sannyasis, they were speechless in front of such a beautiful and explanation, with all references from the Upanishad and the Puranas and the Vedas and logic and the Nyaya and all types of science from a 20-year-old boy. So they saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at that time. So anyway, they kind of, after that, accepted Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and didn't disrespect him anymore. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed in Varanasi during that time 2 months. And during that month, he would sleep at, when he slept, in Chandrasekhara Acharya's house, but he would go every day in the house of Tapana Mishra to take prasada. So sleeping in Chandrasekhara Acharya. Nobody else, because he was receiving hundreds of invitations from many other people, but he won't go to anyone's house. Only Vaishnava, only pure Vaishnavas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were very strict. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was staying at Tapana Mishra taking prasada, this small boy called Raghunath, at the time he was 9 years old, he used to serve him, sometimes cooking or washing the dishes, very menially, very humbly. And he would listen to Mahaprabhu talking, and he was very attentive. Even while he was washing dishes, he would be very, very attentive to anything Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would say. And then Mahaprabhu left Varanasi, and few years passed when Raghunath Bhatta he was 21, so we are talking about 12 years after. Raghunath Bhatta asked to his parents the permission to go visit Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who at the time was staying in Sri Jagannath Puri. So Varanasi, Jagannath Puri is a long way, it's not a short trip. So anyway, at that time there was no airplanes or, you know, you would go by foot or you go. There were several, but the sadhus would go by foot. So Raghunath Bhatta started and walked the distance. And during the walk, he knew one Brahmana whose name was Ramdas Vishwas. This Ramdas Vishwas was a pure devotee of Lord Ramachandra. He was a great, great scholar. He was known all over India. But his father was not a Brahmana. His mother was Brahmana, but his father was not a Brahmana. So Raghunath Bhatta, although very young at the time, Ramdas Vishwas was older than him, still, Raghunath Bhatta was a pure Vaishnava, a pure Brahmana from family. So Ramdas said, "Oh, you are a Brahmana, I need to serve you." And Raghunath Bhatta said, "No, I'm very young, you are a great scholar, you should not serve." And he forced Raghunath Bhatta to accept his service. You see how all these stories, he would even massage his legs because, it's fatiguing, it's a lot of work. And washing his clothes and everything, very menial services. You see how the lives of great, great acharyas is all about knowledge and service. They always said, all these great Vaishnavas are always serving each other. And even someone very great like Ramdas Vishwas, who had reasons not to get involved by his own accord to serve Raghunath Bhatta, was a young boy, 21 years old boy, he could have just shut up and walked with him up to No, he wanted to. He was looking for excuses to serve him. While sometimes we do looking for excuses not to serve. Oh, well, he's a devotee. Okay, but, you know, yesterday he said something, you know, 30 years ago he did something, you know, strange. So I don't feel like... this is not really the mood of the Vaishnavas. So we should overlook any alleged defect of a Vaishnava and serve, because this is what we originally and naturally we are. We are dasas or dasis. We should serve, and even as a material calculation, we should see that's good for me. It doesn't matter if he's maybe not really pure devotee, you know. But this is good for me because I will get purified. But I am, because I am practicing what is my own spiritual nature. Right now, the spiritual nature is not manifest, but by serving, this spiritual nature will become manifested. So Ram Das Vishwas, the story also you find in Chaitanya Charitamrita, please read it, served Raghunath Bhatta up to Sri Jagannath Puri. And then at the end, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, who at the time was not named Bhatta, he was not named even a Goswami, but respectfully we should call him Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, arrived to Jagannath Puri. And what was Jagannath Puri at that time? You can only imagine what it was at that time. In Jagannath Puri there was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all these main devotees like Gadadhar Pandit, Haridas Thakur, Svarupa Damodar Goswami, Ramananda Roy, all the great names that for us are mythological figures, you know, personalities that we read in the books, they were physically present at that time. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami approached Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and asked for service, and he put him in charge of Svarupa Damodara, and also he took initiation from Gadadhar Pandit. So he is a direct disciple of Gadadhar Pandit at that time. So he did two basic service in Jagannath Puri. He was cooking for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he was learning Srimad Bhagavatam from this great personality. So he would hear and cook for Mahaprabhu. So it was a great honor to cook. And he was a great cook. Anything he would do, it would taste like nectar, because when you do something with love, it comes out nicely. Sometimes we do things because we got to do it. You know, somebody has to do it, I will do. If you do it with love, trying to satisfy the person, then the preparation must come like nectar. Who is the best cook in the creation? Who knows that? Srimati Radharani cooks for Krishna every day. And there is actually, she got a blessing from Durvasa Muni. You know the story, huh? How Srimati Radharani got a blessing that anything she would cook would taste like nectar. Srimati Radharani every day, even today, still is cooking for Sri Krishna every day. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami stayed in Jagannath Puri for 8 months. And he wanted to stay, to remain, to give everything up and stay in Jagannath Puri with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Mahaprabhu said, no, you should go back to Varanasi and serve your parents, because your parents are pure devotees of the Lord. You should go back and serve them. And he prohibited him to get married, to marry. You should be a brahmachari for life and study Srimad Bhagavatam under advanced Vaishnavas. So Raghunath Bhatta Goswami accepted this instruction by Mahaprabhu and went back to Varanasi. So what happened? After a short time, Tapana Mishra and his wife, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami's father and mother, left the body. So Raghunath Bhatta Goswami at this point saw no reason to remain in Varanasi and went back to Jagannath Puri with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again. And he stayed other 8 months with Mahaprabhu. At the end, Mahaprabhu told him to go where? To Vrindavan, the six Goswami of Vrindavan. Told you should go to Vrindavan and serve under Rupa Sanatana Goswami. So Raghunath Bhatta went to Vrindavan and stayed there for 45 years without leaving Vrindavan. He left the body that he was 74. He was 74 years old. And in Vrindavan, there is no much information about what he did in Vrindavan. We know something that I will tell you. First of all, his disciples helped Rupa Goswami in building up his Govindaji temple, that whoever been to Vrindavan has seen it. Right now you see only a part because it's been destroyed a few hundred years ago, but the temple was built also with the help of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami's disciples. He would cook, and when he would cook, everybody would come and eat his prasada because it was just delicious. And he would recite Srimad Bhagavatam by singing, not by reading. He was singing in different tunes. He would take one verse, he would recite it in a tune, and then he would recite it in many different tunes, and he was like an angel chanting. Everybody was very fascinated by his recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam. And another thing which is a characteristic of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, he said that he never listened anyone's criticism, not even casually. When somebody would start criticizing anybody, just anybody, not Vaishnava, just anybody, he would walk away. He never ever spoke one word which was not philosophy or history or telling lilas, this kind of thing. Never ever, not once in his life. Everything he would do, he would serve the deities, recite Srimad Bhagavatam, instructing disciples and non-disciples, and he would never listen to anybody's criticism. And this is a good instruction for all of us. We should not waste our time and spiritual advancement, because when you hear criticism, doesn't matter if it's right or wrong, doesn't matter, when you hear it, that will take away your spiritual strength. You should just chant Hare Krishna, talk about philosophy, and do all kinds of services that you can do for Krishna and the devotees, and that will get you purified. But don't listen to prajalpa and offenses to anyone. In this way we'll become noble persons, aristocratic spiritualists, not people who talk and criticize and talk about any nonsense. You know, this is important. So this is basically what I wanted to tell about the story of this very important personality. We don't know much about him, but the few things that we know, we should know them. Any question? If there are no questions, we close.
La questione in español, perché io entendí algo della
clase,
no?
Mi
Thank you.
Entendí que Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, cuando empezó a predicar, era muy joven, ¿no? ¿Cuántos años tenía? ¿Puede repetirlo, por favor?
He took sannyas when he was 24. But the Sankirtan movement, it began a few years before. So he was organized his Sankirtan movement in Navadvip. Okay? So after, he thought that it was better to take sannyas because people would respect him more. Even today, we see that when a sannyasa come, they respect him more than the devotees in white. And we should be careful to respect sannyasis without disrespecting the others who are not sannyasis. This is very important because there are a lot of people even in this, in our movement, to think that only sannyasis are spiritual masters. They don't know that in our movement there are 19 initiating spiritual masters who are not sannyasis. So it's but at that time Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thought that he should take sannyas, and when he took it, he was 24 years old.
Ma Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu a che età iniziò a studiare con suo guru? Vivió nell'ashram con suo guru e per quanto anni?
No, he met the spiritual master few years before taking sannyas. His spiritual master was called Ishvarapuri. That's the name of his spiritual master. Ishvarapuri was a great, great personality, and he was disciple of Madhavendra Puri. He was very, very exalted Vaishnava. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met him twice during his trips. And the second time, he accepted initiation from him. So he started his Sankirtan movement in his 20s. The exact date is not given anywhere, so we don't know. But surely it should be around before his 20th year of life.
Que me recordé que mencionó que él, como que al principio él no estaba tan manifiesto en su movimiento de Sankirtan. ¿Qué fue lo que lo hizo cambiar? ¿En qué punto?
There are external reasons why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu changed from a grihasta with wife leading a huge movement. You know, there were hundreds of thousands of people chanting Hare Krishna and going in Sankirtan with him, his friends and disciples, who wanted to take sannyas. Because sannyas at that time was a little different from the sannyas today in our movement or in general. Sannyas at that time, as it was understood at that time, was that you disappear. You don't preach. Sannyasi do not preach at that time. So that's why everybody became very pained at the idea that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu go, because they were going not to see him again. So there were two reasons why he did that: one external and one internal. The external is that his students started to lack respect, to disrespect Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And there was one particular incident when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was starting to explain in Sanskrit using Krishna's names and devotees' names. So how he did that is complex. It's, I cannot explain it to you right now. But he was starting to use Krishna's names and devotees' names. So he started at a certain point to feel ecstatic symptoms while saying the names of the gopis. So he started to say their names, oh, Chandravali and Chitra and Champakalata and Vishaka and Lalita. He used to cry and tremble, and everybody was, didn't know, and nobody, he was in front of his students. He had many students who came to learn. They were not interested in bhakti, they were interested in learning Sanskrit and philosophy. So they were disturbed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic symptoms, and they started to criticize him. And one time they did it in front of him, saying, why are you saying names of women, like I was telling before? You know, you are married, you should be content with your wife. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got really angry and started to chase them with a stick. He wanted to beat them up. So that then they understood that he could not be a Grihastha anymore, he could not be a teacher anymore, he had to take sannyas, because sannyas he respected, automatically respected. And he thought, if I take sannyas, I will be respected regardless of what I do, first of all because I am a sannyasi. My appearance will command respect, and they will listen more attentively. This is the external reason. The internal reason was that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came in this world for two basic reasons. The first reason was to start a Sankirtan movement, thanks to which we are here now as devotees, because of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu starting the Sankirtan movement in Navadvip. The second reason was to taste bhakti, because Krishna is always receives service from his devotees. And Krishna sees that the devotees are happier to serve him than him receiving service. He sees the devotees in ecstasy just because they say his name. So this kind of ecstasy, he thought, I don't experience it. So I want to experience the happiness that the devotees feel in doing service. So I will become a devotee. I will become the greatest of all the devotees, he said. So he appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the first part of his life, 24 years in Navadvip, and then traveling in South India, all over India. And then at a certain point, after 6 years, which means the last 18 years of his life, until he disappeared when he was 48, he stayed in Jagannath Puri in meditation, tasting the devotional service of the Radharani feels for him. And Jagannath Puri is particularly important because there is a Jagannath Diti. Jagannath Diti is the deity of separation between Radha and Krishna. And Radha and Krishna, they meet together, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the meeting of Radha and Krishna. But this is very deep subject matters. Maybe we can talk about them some other time. So that's what prompted Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to take sannyas. Any other question? You are the only one who did not do questions. Now you are obliged to do no questions.
Is there any information where Raghunath Das Goswami, who he was in the spiritual world, like other Goswamis, was a certain personality or gopi or manjari? Is there anything?
If my memory do not betray me, which it does very often, his name in Krishna Lila is Raga Manjari. But I will check it out as soon as the class is finished, I will tell you if I did something wrong or I was right. What's a raga mangiare? Raga mangiare is in the group of Lalita, and she was direct servant or Rupa Mangiare. Rupa Mangiare is the original personality of Rupa Goswami in this spiritual world. So the six Goswamis, they were a group of Mangiaris, and the head of this group was Rupa Goswami, Rupa Mangiare, and Rupa Mangiare was a direct servant of Sri Lalita Devi. No? Okay. Any other question?
Entonces, ¿con quién estudió de pequeño Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Sí. Sí.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had many teachers in Navadvip, and he took lessons from many. Ishwarapuri gave him a certain type of teachings, and which is the most intimate teaching in bhakti, and gave him blessings. You know, learning philosophy is only a part. It gives you power, strength. You know a lot of things, so you are powerful mentally, intellectually. You feel sure because you know. Devotional service, it gives you blessings, and this is important because power by knowledge is not enough to go to the spiritual world, because Krishna is not impressed by your power. You cannot go to Krishna and say, "Oh Krishna, I know I am a great scholar." And Krishna says, "No, this is not the mood. This is not the Dasa mood. This is not the Gopi mood. This is not at all nobody's mood in the spiritual world." So then go back and be a servant. Will give you all the qualities necessary to receive blessing and go to the spiritual world. If you analyze the psychology of a servant, actually the word servant is not really the best word to define what we mean. I will explain you what it means. For instance, let's say that you love somebody really much. In the material world, let's say your wife, your children, a friend, anybody, you love him very dearly. What do you do to him or to her or to them? What do you do? You give him something, no? Oh, how can I make you happy? Oh, I would like a glass of water. I need water. Immediately you go. Why? Because you love him. You want to make him happy. You see? So this is service. The service we talk about in our movement, in our philosophy, is not just a serve, that's it. No. It's the expression of love. Bhakti means love. What is the best way to show love? Through doing something. What is the best way to develop love? Practicing the best way to manifest love, which is serving. You serve Krishna, although your heart may not be pure, your understanding may be flawed, still you do it. And then Krishna will appreciate, and will give you a spiritual advancement. This is how it works.
Que también dijo que Raghunath Raghunath Bhatta Goswami nunca escuchó ninguna crítica, no solo de Vaishnava, sino de cualquier persona común. También eso afecta en el servicio devocional, escuchar críticas, así sean de no Vaishnava.
Criticism is an effect of envy and anger, so it is always disruptive of peace of mind or cleanliness of mind, because when you are a good person, you always smile, you always try to be good to everyone, and then it comes one person say, oh, that guy is so bad, you know. You see how the two things are incompatible one with the other, you see. So this is called, there are three main gunas: sattva guna, rajo guna, and tamaguna. So sattva guna means I don't want to hear anything which is dirty. Rajo guna, yes, but we had to do things. To do things, we had to criticize people. And tamoguna means I don't care about doing anything. I just want everybody to be seen as rascals. You see. So the example that Raghunath Bhatta Goswami did was just one perspective of the situation. Was that I will not criticize anybody. But then other great acharyas, they did criticize. Why? Like our Srila Prabhupada. He criticized sometimes his god brothers. He criticized sometimes, well, not sometimes, he criticized everybody in this world. All the Mayavadis, he criticized, he told rascals to everybody who moved in the world. Because, why? Because his position was different from Raghunath Das Goswami's position. His role was different. Srila Prabhupada had to very quickly, in a few years, instill in us, which we didn't know anything about anything. We didn't know who Krishna was. When Srila Prabhupada started giving Bhagavad Gita class, he was saying, okay, Arjuna was Krishna's disciple, and he was looking to people, and people said, who Arjuna is? Anyway, who is Krishna? So he had a few years, because he stayed only 10 years, almost 11 years with us. In 11 years he had to form thousands of people, making them into brahmanas. So he had to be very specific. This is bad, this is bad, this you don't should do it, etc., etc. That's a different type of and both are correct. So our philosophy is not black and white, this is wrong, this is white. There's many different degrees of black, and so we had to apply, we had to take one teaching of an acharya and apply them depending from the circumstances. Sometimes we may even criticize everybody for preaching, but not for our personal taste. That's a different thing. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami said, don't criticize just because you like to criticize. And Srila Prabhupada said, this is correct. But if you need to criticize to save people, you see, from the material illusion, then you should do it. And he did it. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati was a Nishimha guru. He was roaring. He was so powerful, so strong, you see. While other great acharyas they didn't care about criticizing anybody, you know. Because there was not their role, it was not the service that Krishna gave them. Krishna gave to acharyas, great acharyas like our Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, the role of save everyone in the world. See Nityananda. When Nityananda Prabhu was stricken by Jagai Madai, what did he do? Did he tell them, rascals, how do you dare? I am Nityananda. He didn't say that. He said, I'm sorry if I am disturbing you. He was very humble. Didn't criticize them at all. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what did he do? He wanted to kill the two people. He immediately rushed on the spot with the Sudarshan Chakra. He wanted to kill Jagaya Madai. So was Nityananda Prabhu wrong to be humble and should have killed the two rascals? Or was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wrong because he couldn't control his anger? Nobody was wrong. That's why that Nityananda Prabhu gave one teaching and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave another teaching. We have to be, this philosophy is for intelligent people. We have to understand how the same thing can be seen and treated differently when seen from different perspectives. Just like if I take a picture from here, it comes a picture. I move a little, the picture changes a little bit. If I take it on your back, it's completely different. Nothing, if I take the picture in the back, nothing that it came out when I took the picture from here will come out. But it is the same room. It is not a different room. So, are the one picture good, the other bad? No, it's a different picture, the same room. They are both good. You see? So, in this way, by accepting a guru and sadhu, going to school to them, you learn what are the different teachings of any issue and learn how to apply them in different circumstances. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.